It's Monday, July 7th. I'm Todd Zwillick, in for Jane Costin, and this is What a Day, the show that recognizes that Black Sabbath is dead, but Ozzy Osbourne is alive. Now, Ozzy was never supposed to outlive anyone, really. So on a weekend when America celebrated shaking off the UK, it's good to note that one British rocker is looking great and lived to see his old band officially retired. On today's show, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu comes to the White House while Hamas considers yet another ceasefire deal with negotiators in Qatar. Emergency responders and politics react to the tragic loss of life from flooding in Texas. But let's start with President Donald Trump's latest effort to make health and safety worse and reward the rich while doing it. Donald Trump signed his big budget bill into law on July 4th, complete with a flyover from a stealth bomber. And if you rely on Medicaid or SNAP nutrition benefits or the Affordable Care Act to pay for health coverage, that imagery is, well, right on target. Over the next decade, 17 million Americans are expected to either lose their health coverage or the federal subsidies that help pay for them. And yet, while polling shows that Donald Trump's big billionaire benefiting bill is wildly unpopular, it also shows that most people don't know a thing about it. How's that for a bomb delivered by stealth? Meanwhile, the new law makes immigration enforcement, including deportation, a behemoth, giving it a budget of more than $170 billion. And just last week, Trump border czar Tom Homan was excited.
You think we're arresting people now? You wait till we get the funding to do what we gotta do.
But who's affected first? How fast will benefits dry up and riches flow upward to the ultra-rich as Trump moves America toward his second gilded age? How does all this actually work? To help answer those questions and more, I spoke with Jacob Bogage. He's a congressional economics correspondent for The Washington Post. Jacob, welcome to What a Day.
Hey, great to be with you.
So, Jacob, throughout the entire process of negotiating, trying to pass this bill, all along the way, there were dozens of Republicans at some point or the other pledging, promising, either leaning no or definitely voting no. In the end, they didn't. And especially in the House, right there at the end, before July 4th, there were 10, 11, 12 Republicans holding this vote open for hours and hours and hours. And eventually, they caved, all but just a couple of them.
Yes.
So in the end, what did the Republican leadership do to get these steadfast Republicans on board?
Nothing. They didn't do anything. They waited them out. I mean, the way that they presented this vote to the House was, we're going to make you take a binary choice. We're going to make you vote yes to pass it or vote no to miss the president's self-imposed arbitrary July 4th deadline. And we're going to wait you out. And that's what they did. So, you know, some folks came out of meetings and said, oh, we've received these promises that, you know, we'll get this policy or we'll get that policy. Well, Congressman, what did you get? Well, we can't share that right now.
Jacob, I saw one report where a White House official, I think in legislative affairs, was asked what concessions these Republicans got for their vote. And the answer was, quote, fucking nothing. Is that about it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you come out of a negotiating session and you say the White House showed us new data that, you know, justifies our position and their position simultaneously, you didn't get anything. When you come out of a negotiating session and the White House says, we're planning future executive orders that you're going to like, but you can't share it with anybody, you didn't get anything. You know, they got rolled. Everybody knows they got rolled.
All right. Well, let's get down to policy just for a moment. Now, we've heard that this bill, broad strokes, takes from the poor, gives to the rich, Robin Hood hanging from his ankles in Sherwood Forest. Finally, what we've all been waiting for, I guess, from American policy. But let's get a little bit more specific. Who are the big losers here? Who are the big winners?
Let's start big winners. Businesses, big winners. Their tax rate was locked in. That wasn't going to change. And it didn't change. And on top of that, they got three big deductions that's going to make investing in R&D, buying new equipment, a lot more inexpensive. So businesses, big winners, great tax rate, new deductions. Rich folks, big winners. They get to keep their tax break. And a lot of these tax breaks that we're seeing for something like a pass-through deduction, great for rich folks. And a lot of the, like, what I call the goodie bag, the no tax on tips, the no tax on overtime, the bonus for seniors in the standard deduction, the no tax on auto loan interest, those are really going to benefit rich folks. And let's talk about the auto loan interest deduction real quick as a great example of that. You can deduct up to $10,000 if you buy an American-made car in interest payments. Who's doing that? Who's buying new cars? People with money are buying new cars. So it's very transparent who that is most beneficial to. You want to talk about losers in this bill. You talk about low-income folks and working-class folks, people for whom some of these social benefit programs like Medicaid, like SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program that we used to call food stamps, those made a certain lifestyle possible. And there's going to be tremendous cuts to those programs, or when they're not cut, just onerous requirements to remain involved.
Now, a lot of the savings in this bill come from just where you described deep cuts to social programs relied on by those very people, Jacob. About $1 trillion in cuts from Medicaid, $200 billion from the food assistance programs known as SNAP that you just mentioned. Low-income people rely on these programs. Will the tax savings that they're getting in any way offset the damage to the programs that they relied on? In the net, for somebody who you just described, what does this bill look like in a couple of years?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the answer is absolutely not. And we've spent a lot of time trying to do the math on that. And we've relied on a lot of experts of different ideological persuasions to do the math on it. And universally, the answer is no. It does not net out in the positive for someone who is low income or someone who is middle low income. And the reason is that the benefit that they would get from a SNAP or from a Medicaid is redistributed up the income scale to pay for tax cuts or new deductions that are going to benefit people that make more money. And there's not just those redistributions from the social benefit programs. There's other things in this bill that's going to make it more difficult for those households. There's an excise tax on remittances. So if I am in this country and sending money, maybe to family somewhere else, there's an excise tax on the remittance I'm sending. There are new fees attached to immigration status. So if I'm renewing my work authorization, if I'm renewing my asylum status, if I have temporary protected status, there are fees attached to all of that. It's just going to make life more expensive for folks toward the bottom end of the wage scale and directly redistribute those resources to the top end of the wage scale.
All right, so billions, hundreds of billions redistributed from the very poorest to the very richest. What about where most people are, which is solidly in the middle? I don't know, family of four, $90,000. Why not just pull that out of a hat? What about that family? This is an extension of the 2017 tax cuts. Are they like sort of the same? What happens with a family like that?
They're sort of the same. They're going to net positive, especially if we're talking about a family that has children. They're going to collect on the child tax credit, which was expanded. The thing that you've got to be careful about, and we need to see other fiscal policy decisions down the road, is the debt impact of this bill. It adds $3.4 trillion to the national debt. That already exceeds $36 trillion. That has cascading effects on the economy. It makes borrowing for a home, for a car, more expensive. It makes business operations more expensive. So the consumer goods that you buy, groceries, electronics, prescription medications, it's going to make a lot of those items more expensive because of how much is being crowded out of the economy because we're taking on new debt.
Let me ask you about something super specific that's been happening since this bill became law. The White House and the Social Security Administration have both been trafficking in disinformation, telling seniors that Social Security benefits are now tax-free. I'm just going to say it. That's false. Can you explain how and why it's false and why they're trying to confuse people?
Yeah, I don't want to climb inside their head and say why they're spreading this false information, these lies, but I can tell you how they're doing it. President Trump on the campaign trail said he wanted to end taxes on Social Security benefits. That is near impossible to do in the budget reconciliation framework that Congress passed. But what they did do instead was add to the standard deduction for seniors. So for people ages 65 and up, you get $6,000 more in your standard deduction. So if you made $50,000 last year, including Social Security benefits, take $6,000 and we're going to say you made $44,000. That is not exempting Social Security benefits from taxes or ending taxes on those benefits. It is changing your taxable income. Those are very different things. They're going to have very different economic effects and tax effects for taxpayers.
Well, this law affects millions, tens of millions, and hundreds of millions of people in all different ways. I just want to, before we go, choose one specific group of people, if you can. When will people start to be affected? Let's say if they're on SNAP benefits to get enough food or Medicaid to go, be able to go see a doctor. I mean, if you live in Indiana or Texas, do they start throwing people off of Medicaid next week? When does this start?
That's a great question. So some of these things are going to be phased in between now and 2028. It's going to be up to states, though, in a lot of cases, to decide when they want to phase them in. What this law does is it sets a date that says you, state, must have taken this action by this time. If you want to do it sooner, you can do it sooner. And I expect a lot of ruby red states that have toyed with Medicaid work requirements or stricter SNAP work requirements previously to try to do that even faster. So think about Texas, think about Arkansas, Indiana. They might try to accelerate that because they've shown a proclivity to do it previously. But there's one group of people that we don't really talk about when we discuss this legislation, and that's immigrants, specifically immigrants from Spanish-speaking countries. There are $170 billion in this bill for either border security or immigration enforcement, and we're going to see that start right away. The Homeland Security Department's budget is a fraction of what it was given in this bill. And so if you think some of the immigration enforcement activities have been super visible to this point with raids at work sites or in certain neighborhoods, they're going to get a lot more visible and a lot more aggressive because of this funding. It's going to supersize the Department of Homeland Security and Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Jacob Bogage, Washington Post, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
That was my conversation with Jacob Bogage, congressional and economics correspondent for The Washington Post. We'll link to his work in our show notes. We'll get to more of the news in a moment, but if you like the show, make sure you hit subscribe, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, watch us on YouTube, and share with your friends. More to come after some ads. What a Day is brought to you by Bookshop.org. Now, whether you're searching for an incisive history that helps you make sense of this moment, a novel that sweeps you away over the summer, or the perfect gift for a loved one, Bookshop.org has you covered. When you purchase from Bookshop.org, you're supporting more than 2,000 local independent bookstores across the country, ensuring that they'll be able to foster culture and curiosity and the love of reading for generations to come. I love my local bookstore. I shop at Lost City Books in Adams Morgan, right here in Washington, D.C. If you find yourself on 18th Street in Washington, visit Lost City. Those are my people. I love my independent bookstore. And also, big news, Bookshop.org has launched an ebook app. You can now support local independent bookstores even when you read digitally. I have been reading the old-fashioned way on paper this summer. I'm reading World War Z, the classic by Max Brooks, Zombie Apocalypse. I just purchased at an independent bookstore a copy of SPQR, The History of the Roman Empire. No, not a dude sitting around thinking about the Roman Empire. I bought it for my wife because we just got back from Rome. By the way, use WAD to get 10% off your next order at bookshop.org. That's code WAD, W-A-D, at bookshop.org.
If you love Positive America and want more of my political analysis, you should subscribe to my newsletter, The Message Box. I'm Dan Pfeiffer, former senior advisor to Barack Obama, and in Message Box, I break down what's actually happening in politics and what it's going to take to beat Donald Trump MAGA. If you follow every poll and every twist and turn in the campaign, Message Box is for you. This isn't just hot takes. Every edition delivers clear analysis, behind-the-scenes insight, and practical strategy you can actually use, whether you're working on a race, organizing your community, or just trying to win the argument in your group chat. So if you're listening to this, hit pause, go to your browser, and head to crooked.com/yeswedan, because I have a special offer for Crooked Media fans. You'll get 20% off a Message Box for an entire year. So go to crooked.com/yeswedan.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Here's what else we're following today.
Headlines.
And then there was first responders in the water pulling out, like, girls, like, sheets. I saw someone holding, like, a cloth from the water. And there were huge trees ripped out of the ground and, like, their roots. And it didn't look like Camp Mystic anymore.
That's an interview from a Dallas NBC affiliate reporting on the flash floods that swept through central Texas on Friday and killed dozens of people. Local officials said Sunday several girls from a summer camp on the Guadalupe River were among those still unaccounted for. Texas Governor Greg Abbott said in a post on social media that the camp had been, quote, horrendously ravaged by the flooding. As people grapple with the loss, questions of accountability are swirling. Reports have shown that key positions at the National Weather Service have gone unfilled. President Trump denied it had any impact.
I'll tell you, if you look at that that water situation that all is, and that was really the Biden setup. That was not our setup, but I wouldn't blame Biden for it either. I would just say this is a 100-year catastrophe, and it's just so horrible to watch.
Trump signed a disaster declaration to free up aid for the area. Meteorologists and former Weather Service officials have defended the agency's forecasts. A spokesperson said it held forecast briefings for officials on Thursday and sent out warnings that evening and Friday morning.
Do the tariff rates change at all on July 9th, or do they change on August 1st?
What are you talking about?
Tariff rates. Do they change on July 9th or August 1st?
They're going to be tariffs. The tariffs are going to be the tariffs. I think we'll have most countries done by July 9th, yeah. Either a letter or a deal.
But they go into effect on August 1st. Tariffs go into effect August 1st, but the president is setting the rates and the deals right now.
It's tariff week, and once again, President Trump is changing his tune. Good thing Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick was with him on the tarmac on Sunday to translate. Quick reminder, Trump announced his sweeping reciprocal tariffs in April. He got cold feet and put a pause on them very shortly after that, with hopes of making 90 deals in 90 days. Earlier on Sunday, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent tried to make sense of these new dates, telling CNN's Dana Bash that President Trump is going to be sending out letters to our trading partners with a new warning.
We're going to send out probably 100 letters to small countries where we don't have very much trade. And most of those are already at the baseline 10%.
Well, you said August 1st. Do you mean what's going to happen in August?
So countries will get a letter saying that if we have not reached an agreement, then you will go back to the April 2nd level.
Starting when? On August 1st?
On August 1st.
Okay. So there's basically a new deadline.
It's not a new deadline. We are saying this is when it's happening. If you want to speed things up, have at it. If you want to go back to the old rate, that's your choice.
And what has the United States done in that time? So far, Trump has made a whopping two preliminary trade deals, one with Vietnam and one with the United Kingdom, and a temporary deal with China. A deal with the EU is getting close, reportedly. This is what we talk about when we talk about Taco. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is scheduled to meet President Trump at the White House today. It's his third visit with Trump since January. The meeting will serve in part as a chance for the two to praise their attacks on Iran's nuclear facilities last month. But experts say Netanyahu might also be seeking assurances from Trump about U.S. support if and when his conflict with Iran continues. Will Trump try to humiliate the leader of Israel the way he did with the presidents of Ukraine and South Africa in the Oval Office? Stay tuned. An Israeli delegation traveled to Qatar on Sunday to once again negotiate with Hamas. The Associated Press obtained a copy of a 60-day ceasefire proposal. The terms include Hamas handing over 10 living and 18 dead Israeli hostages, as well as Israeli forces partially withdrawing from the Gaza border and allowing aid into the region. That aid would come from the United Nations and other agencies, but not from the U.S. and Israel-backed Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. The proposal does not include a permanent end to the war, something Hamas has asked for, but it does envision permanent ceasefire negotiations during that 60-day period. Meanwhile, Israeli airstrikes killed at least 38 Palestinians in Gaza, according to hospital officials there on Sunday. And finally, North Korea's dictator, Kim Jong-un, has a new vacation destination for when the stresses of being aggressively clapped at get all too overwhelming. His country's opened a new beach resort along its eastern coast. State media says the tourist resort stretches along 2.5 miles of beachfront property and boasts over 400 buildings, from high-rise hotels to luxury villas. It can reportedly house about 20,000 guests and includes a water park, concert hall, restaurants, car dealerships, and department stores. The new resort is just one of several tourist destinations built in recent years. North Korea has been trying to lure visitors from places like Russia and China to boost revenues that have been crippled by international sanctions on its exports. But don't get your hopes up. North Korea's border remains mostly closed to Western tourists. So your luxury trip to the Hermit Kingdom might just have to wait a little while longer. And that's the news. That's all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, crank up some Sabbath, throw up the devil horns, and tell your friends to listen. And if you're into reading, and not just about the true history of Ozzy biting the head off a bat, true story, What a Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Todd Zwillick. And by the way, if you're looking for the best Sabbath album, it's called Paranoid. Get it. Give Ozzy and the rest of the boys their due. What a Day is a production of Crooked Media. It's recorded and mixed by Desmond Taylor. Our associate producer is Emily Four. Our producer is Michelle Aloy. Our video editor is Joseph Dutra. Our video producer is Joanna Case. We had production help today from Greg Walters, Matt Berg, and Tyler Hill. Our senior producer is Erica Morrison, and our senior vice president of news and politics is Adrian Hill. Our theme music is by Colin Gilliard and Kashaka. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America, East.
The destruction is nearly incomprehensible unless you see it for yourself.
I found that my house was gone, as well as every house on my block.
How could this have happened? And where do we go from here? LA is rebuilding. There is no doubt about that. Less clear is how.
We know the faster we can rebuild, the faster we can heal.
There are kind of two separate conversations at a high level that I don't think we're having that we could have in this rush to kind of build things back as they were.
I'm Kate Cagle, host of the new podcast Rebuilding LA from LA Times Studios. We will try to answer some of these questions as we assess the path forward. Rebuilding LA launches June 11th. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love Positive America and want more of my political analysis, you should subscribe to my newsletter, The Message Box. I'm Dan Pfeiffer, former senior advisor to Barack Obama, and in Message Box, I break down what's actually happening in politics and what it's going to take to beat Donald Trump MAGA. If you follow every poll and every twist and turn in the campaign, Message Box is for you. This isn't just hot takes. Every edition delivers clear analysis, behind-the-scenes insight, and practical strategy you can actually use, whether you're working on a race, organizing your community, or just trying to win the argument in your group chat. So if you're listening to this, hit pause, go to your browser, and head to crooked.com/yeswedan, because I have a special offer for Crooked Media fans. You'll get 20% off a Message Box for an entire year. So go to crooked.com/yeswedan.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.